B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So Pueyo to bat with a man on. His first at bat tonight. He grounds that one to short. And the second one. The turn and in time for the double play, and that will do it. There's your final score here tonight. Toronto comes from behind in exhibition baseball and knocks off the Red Sox by a final score of 8-6.
There it is. We're back. A little bit of sports. A little bit of sports that you care about. Yeah, even baseball. That still qualifies. I got to tell you.
I didn't even know that was happening last night.
I didn't even know that was going to be on. I should have been more tuned into that. Because I was flipping around, and there I go. I'm usually on 852 for NBC Sports Boston, which is where we simulcast every day across New England and the country. Brought to you by DraftKings, also 98.5 The Sports Hub. But then I just flipped the channel, and oh, there's an actual ball game at Fenway Park live. Actual ball game. I got to tell you, I was kind of pleased. And so that's where we're going to start today. We're going to start with baseball and the Red Sox and last night. And also Mookie Betts news out in Los Angeles. All of this as Felger here comes to you on location. Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz, how you doing, buddy?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. What did you think of last night?
Well, so you know what I find amusing? Is that since the end of last season, the Red Sox have hired a new general manager, fired their manager, lost a couple of aces, and also Rick Porcello, who left. They've had scandal. They've had all kinds of stuff. They showed up for spring training. They then ran into a pandemic. They finally got back on the field at Fenway Park, and wouldn't you know it, their bullpen blew it. Tell me that is not the most perfect thing ever. Like, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Death, taxes, and the wheel of gutless bums. Those things are the certainties in life. There is nothing else quite like them.
Wasted no time. Wasted no time. And is that what we're going to get again? That's just the first exhibition since they've come back from the pandemic. Almost, what, 3-4 months, however long it's been, tuning up for Friday's opening day. And so it's just a little exhibition on a lot of different fronts. But is that what we're going to get? Are we going to get, I think I have this right, 18 hits, 14 runs, 5 home runs? Red Sox can't hold leads of 4-0 and 6-2 going into the sixth inning. Empty stadium, balls rattling around the stands. Almost 3 hours to complete that ball game. 2 hours and 54 minutes. Is that what we're going to get all season long?
Yep. That's what you're going to get. And again, tell me that is not perfect. Of all the things that have changed in the last 10 months, the Red Sox show up at Fenway Park for a game against a major league opponent, whether it's a real game or not. First time in months they show up in the midst of a pandemic and the bullpen blows.
Same crap.
That is so delicious. That is just perfect. Again, you know what that is? That should have reassured everybody that there is still some normalcy in the world. That no matter what happens and how bad things get, you can always take a crap on the Red Sox bullpen.
So what else stood out to you last night, Tonto?
Well, so look, I mean, that was the big one. I think, my opinions of the team is just comical. I think they're going to hit. I mean, J.D. Martinez hit one out into the bullpen there, and that's straight away right field. That's not right center. That is straight away right field where he hit that home run. All of my preconceptions about the Red Sox, I would say, for the most part, were validated. And by that, I mean the 2020 Red Sox. I think they're going to hit. I think they're going to score some runs. I think from that standpoint, offensively, they'll be reasonably fun to watch as much as the modern game can be fun to watch. The pitching staff is going to be a freaking adventure. It is going to be an adventure. And again, I told you, I think the games with the Blue Jays are going to be of real importance. That's a Toronto team that's sort of up and coming. They get some good young players. And to me, they're the one team on the division, in the division other than the Red Sox, that are sort of on the bubble. They could go either way. I think the other two teams, meaning the Yankees and Tampa, are better than the Red Sox. The Orioles are obviously worse than everybody. So the Red Sox fate in 2020, their ultimate place in this season may very well be decided by their head-to-head games against the Blue Jays. And last night, they crapped their pants.
Specific players you liked or didn't like. Start with what you didn't like. And I guess the obvious is that bullpen. But what didn't you like?
Oh, so to me, again, the as much as we dump on Brazier, Barnes is of equal importance. I mean, Barnes is really your best reliever out there. And so, him giving up a home run doesn't do you any favors. And really, at the end of the day, incredibly, I have less concern about the bullpen than I do about the starting rotation. That's sort of one of the real ironies in that game last night, is that as much as you look at it and go, wow, what a complete clown show that thing was at the end of the game, that's the strength of their staff when you look at it. And so beyond that, again, I've told you this in the past. I don't typically put a lot of stock in the outcome of preseason games because they're not typically managed the same way that they would be when the games count for real. But, when Barnes and Brazier are two of your best three relievers out there, then
last night kind of was. I mean, I think you were seeing guys hitting there at the end of the game you wouldn't normally see. That had a spring training feel. But I think the way they managed the pitching was pretty, according to Hoyle, that's what they're going to do in the regular season, don't you think?
Well, Workman will probably get the ninth.
Well, that's right, obviously. Okay.
Right. Workman will get the ninth. They'll manage it a little bit differently in that way. I'll tell you, if you want me to give you a positive, I'll give you a positive. Ryan Weber wasn't terrible. He was okay. I mean, again, he went six innings. He gave up four runs. If the guys in the end of their rotation do that, they're going to win their share. Now, will they be a great team? No. But, Weber, to me, as a fifth starter type, is not horrible. He's a guy that moves the ball around a little bit. He doesn't throw hard, obviously, but I don't mind guys like that who actually pitch. And so he doesn't hurt himself a ton, not a lot of walks. I think he had one last night. And so, to me, there's a promising sign there. But again, the obvious thing is the pitching staff. What are we going to get there? Trick or treat, nightly basis, spin the wheel, baby, and we're going to add names to it. Like, who the hell knows what you're getting out there this year?
All right. Day one, we're already spinning the wheel of gutless bums. Love it. Love it. Love it. Need it. Need it like you read about. How do we feel about the product? And we'll open it up to the people. Again, your phone number is 617-779-0985. How did you feel about the television product, Maz? Soup to nuts. Empty stadium. Tarping over part of the stadium. Fake crowd noise. Still playing a lot of the game presentation stuff in the stadium. Eck, Remy, O'Brien in the Nesson Studios. Though that's the three-man booth. The whole kit and caboodle of the television product. How'd you feel about it?
Okay, so there were some things I liked and other things that I didn't. And I've been starving. I'll admit it. See, I knew about the exhibitions. So I made a point of A, recording it, and B, making sure I was in front of my television at some point.
And I was so pleasantly surprised. I did not realize they were on. I flipped them on like, there's a ball game. I'm sorry to interrupt there, Maz, but I was just, boy, that little sports dork in me, that's what I needed. I needed a little something like that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and that's the exact sentiment I had, that when it came on, I went, well, here we go, a ball game. A ball game. I'm okay with this. And again, I actually enjoyed the Ryan Weber part of the game. He, generally speaking, he works reasonably fast. He throws strikes, moves the ball around. Like, I'm okay with a guy like that. So in terms of the product, the pace of play product, to me, with Weber on the mound anyway, I was okay with it. And I thought the game was actually moving at a decent pace until the last few innings. Now, in terms of the presentation, the stuff that you're talking about, I don't like the tarps in the stands. I don't like them. I understand why they're doing it. I'd rather have empty seats there. I'm okay with empty seats in the background. And the more I thought about this, the more I said, boy, those tarps really bug me. I like the natural backdrop of seats in the ballpark. I like that. The other stuff looks to me just doesn't look natural. So I'm not like losing my mind over it. I understand why they did it, and if they can find other ways to create revenue amidst this thing in the absence of ticket sales, fine, all the power to them. Visually, I don't love it. the, you know, the murmur of crowd noise under the broadcast, I like it. I like it. I don't like, I need some of that white noise. I don't want just dead silence like somebody is sitting in a press box at a high school game. It's not enough for me. I need that murmur underneath it.
So I think they got the murmur right. I'll give them that. And again, I don't want it. I'm just on record. I still don't want it. I can handle an empty stadium because that's what we're getting, and I can handle empty. You know, I don't need it. But I think that, you know, there's a nice you know, who's ever on that level isn't riding it too hard. So it's just a din, which is just what you want. And I think they've got that little atmospheric right. When there's a hit or a moment, and now the guy's got to start. Do I cheer loud? Do I cheer a little? Is it a, do I have a rally cheer? Do I have a reaction cheer? Like, oh God, we got to get into this just another video game. Just another dork somewhere with a tablet or a phone pecking away at his phone for just the right crowd noise.
Woo!
I don't need that.
Woo!
I do find it interesting. They still played Sweet Caroline last night. To whose benefit? They still play the stupid, and I don't even really know what it is. I've always been meaning to ask, but what's the stupid song thing that they play when they score a run? Yeah, what is that? What is that?
No idea.
Yeah, you're asking a song.
It's some like DJ song from like 20 years ago or something like that. I think it's called MF or Go. I believe I looked it up years ago.
Okay, so they play this when they have a big hit or a big moment. It's like, do they really need that? I mean, so like, it's, you know, that part of it, it's just someone playing a video game somewhere. And I'm not sitting here watching your video game or listening to your video game. Cheer, boo, mamba, you know, rock it out, like whatever. What is this called? MFR. You know, like I don't need to sit here and listen to your video game. And
it's got to have something, though, Mike. It has to have something. I mean, I'm glad you were at least able to come around to the din, because if it didn't have that, I get it. You're a robot, but I'd want to die. I only tuned into this in the ninth inning when that a-hole gave it up, which was so perfect. Give me 60 of those all year. I'll actually have some level of happiness in 2020. But I was impressed with the job that they did in terms of the production. Like, it actually sounded like how the ballpark is supposed to sound. I was impressed.
And I'll tell you, you know, I think as much as I think Remy is not what he was when he had his fastball, and O'Brien has certain ticks, Murray, that, you know, we're all aware of. That's a good three-man booth. Remy and, you know, Emmy and Eck together, they work, and O'Brien's good in that. You know, that's a good booth. It is. You got to give it up to him there.
Oh, look, and again, under the circumstances, brutally hard. So, you know, the other night, we were playing some highlights of we did it the other day on Felger Maz too, the home runs from the Yankee game. And it felt to me like Michael Kay's timing was off. Like, you know, he needed to see the ball on the screen or the reaction of the players on the screen before he knew. And my understanding actually is that Kay was in the ballpark that night, which surprised me even further. But in the case of these guys, they're calling from a studio in Watertown. And like,
and so they're not even going to be, I'm sorry to cut in, they're not even going to be in the ballpark during these regular, I know they're not going on the road, but they're going to call even Fenway games from the Nesson headquarters.
Correct. Yep. At least that's what I've read. And so to me, that's hard, man. That is brutally difficult because again, when you're in the ballpark and the ball goes off the bat, you know, if you've seen enough baseball, you know, or you watch the fielders, you can see a guy break on a ball, you know, right away, instantaneously. On TV, how many times do you see a ball come off a bat and you go, oh, and it's a pop up to second base?
Like, Moreland's home run, they couldn't tell.
Yeah,
that wasn't a home run call till it was in the bullpen.
It totally, it fools you. It does. It fools you on television. It can fool you. And so I have, you know, to me, I don't envy what those guys have to do. I think the job's hard enough, let alone having to be in a different place calling it off the monitor.
Your reaction to last night, your reaction to the game presentation, the phony crowd noise, the tarps in the stands, the three-man booth, the Nesson broadcast, the team, the game, and as Maz said, the season hasn't even kicked off. They didn't get through one exhibition game, and we already had the return of the Wheel of Gutless Bums. Things are becoming more right with the world by the minute. To your calls right after these words.
Woo! Woo! Yahoo!
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Who doesn't know Felger and Mass?
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ryan Weber.
He's a starter.
Chris Mazza.
Who?
Brandon Workman.
It's the whole entire staff.
A shortened fake season means an all-new wheel of gutless bums.
Red Sox head nerd Chaim Bloom has given Ron Renicki precious little to work with in 2020. From the rotation to the bullpen. Now let's find out who sucked in blue last night.
Barnes, Thornburg, Johnson, Thornburg, Frazier, Barnes, Embry, Workman, Johnson, Thornburg, Velasquez, Embry, Johnson. And today's gutless bum is...
Red Sox have a 6-5 lead heading to the ninth inning. Ryan Brazier out of the pen. That one stroke pretty well hit toward the wall and it's going to be off the green. Cuello turns and fires. Tellez trying to make it into second, and he will. He will dive in safely. He'll stroke that one down for a base hit. Runner trying to advance. Tellez will into third. He'll stop there. So trouble here for Brazier. And they are on the corners with nobody out.
Oh,
that one's ripped.
Oh.
Deep drive, and this one way back and gone into the bleachers. And this inning just explodes on Ryan Brazier. So Toronto has taken an 8-6 lead here in the ninth inning.
There you go, day one. Day one of the exhibitions. And Big Jim Murray gets to trot out the wheel of gutless bums. Your thought on last night's Red Sox product. The game, the team, if you want. The production, really, what that's going to be. Is that what that's going to be? Empty stadiums, but still the fake crowd noise. Empty stadiums.
No!
Tarped over parts of the stands. You don't like the tarps over the stands. That doesn't bother me as badly, Maz. What's your issue there?
It's just a visual thing. That's all. Again, I told you, it's not. I don't begrudge them for trying to make some money. I just don't. The look of it. You know what it reminds me of? Bad teams that can't sell tickets, and maybe this is one of them.
Yeah, maybe this
is one of them now. But you know, you go when the Red Sox would go into stadiums or teams that draw 10,000, they cover up the seats because they can't sell tickets, and you know it's just a depressing place. So the visual of that bugs me. I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's it or what it is. Just those tarps there. It just aesthetically it bothers me.
Okay, so more thoughts. Oh, God, I'm listening to a game with someone playing with his computer. That's all I need. Matt and Quincy, your thoughts. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Baseball's back. All right, so one thing. I actually thought the broadcast was fine. I thought I'd miss fans in the stands a lot more, but everything seemed kind of normal. My favorite part of the game was when they panned up to the boxes. I love how the players get their own individual suites, and they just hang out there half naked, just like watching the game. Like Devers, just on his phone, fat, hanging out, half naked. And one thing about the team, their lineup is going to be really good, and it's atrocious that they brought out that pitching staff and they didn't get anyone over the offseason.
Okay, so because it's a bridge year, they don't want to spend on the team. It is true, though. Devers with his shirt off, woof. Do we all now agree with what has been reported and what has been said that he put on a few there in the off season? Not a good look. I'd put on a shirt there, buddy. You know, if they're going to pan up to you there in your luxury box. But it is true. It's like you get to go sit in the lazy boy with your shirt off and watch the rest of the game for these guys. In his case, I'd put a shirt on, though. He put on a few, Maz.
Oh, look, he's doughy. He's doughy. He's doughy anyway, right? He was doughy 2 years ago, and then it got a little bit better, and he looked like he was, you know, putting in some more effort. Again, see, I give Cora a lot of credit for that. I think Cora connected with a lot of those guys just because, you know, there was a Hispanic connection there or a Caribbean connection, and they respected him. They respected his opinion. He got on their ass, and he made them better players. And I think that some of those guys could regress without Cora there. I do believe that.
He also, I think he missed a pop-up, you know, down the third baseline. I think that was him. And, you know, there's been reports that his fielding has been way off this year, and I think we saw it, you know, in that case last night. Again, on the crowd noise, and the caller said, you know, the TV product was good. And I agree. I think the TV product was good. I'm a no-fun traditionalist, and so I don't need fake crowd noise. Because it does become a distraction, and then you start sort of wondering where it is, and you wonder if the guy's on the button or like what, and even Eckersley, and I think Eckersley and Recky, Remy and Eckersley pointed it out when the kid, I didn't even know this guy was on the team, this Italian kid from Worcester, Mass.
Oh, the outfielder who hit the home run last week? I can't remember his name either.
Yes, okay, whatever. This guy's up late in the game, runners on, two outs. And, you know, we'll play the at-bat here. And at some point, I think Eckersley goes, hey, you know, this is where the crowd gets up. It's time to pump it up. As if he's talking to the guy, the dork in the next room with the laptop and the computer on his, you know, is sitting there with his laptop saying, hey, buddy, give us some crowd noise here. And so this is not why I'm watching, to watch someone else play a video game. But go ahead with this.
This is where you'd hear some crowd noise regular season.
Yes, considerable.
Come on. Pump it up.
Time to party.
And then he struck out, you know. So it's like
Andreoli's the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, that guy. Whatever. He's superfluous to the discussion. The discussion is, are we going to be sitting there waiting for the dork to ride the levels on the crowd noise, or are you just going to sit there and watch a game? I'm telling you, I've watched now plenty of games without crowd noise, and I'm telling you, they're all going to it except this MLS is back thing down in Orlando where they're not even pretending. And if you get wrapped up in the game and you watch the game, you after a little bit, you forget all about it. If you're just interested in the game, and with the Red Sox last night, I was kind of interested in the game, I sort of forgot all about it. But my wife, you know, walks by, the wood says, oh, that's going to be kind of boring, isn't it? Well, I can't hear anybody. So the casual fan, I guess, that needs it all is going to notice it. But if you're just sort of the hardcore, you're watching the ball game. And believe me, you would forget about it. I know you want it. I know you feel you need it. Trust me, Murray. Trust me, Maz. If they didn't have it after an inning or two or less, you wouldn't even know it wasn't there.
Not with this sport. I'm with the wood. Again, like if I had to deal with that.
Easy.
you know what I mean. In terms of her commentary on the baseball game, I couldn't deal with it. Thank God that was there last night. And I only watched for about an inning.
We've got John in Saugus. He's up next. Hi, John. Jonathan?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Oh, geez. First of all, Maz, I love the 60-game schedule, like you said yesterday. It's anybody's season. But I'll tell you, I watched 2 days ago a game from 1988. I will never make fun of how bad baseball is now ever again, because it was unbearable, unbearable. It's amazing. It had a packed crowd. Todd Benzinger was your hero. Marco Scudero was your shortstop. I mean, it was painful. It was painful to watch.
What was painful about it, John? What was painful?
First of all, Ned Martin, God bless him. You know, he was great when he was around.
How about the game, John? How about the game? Why was the game painful?
I just didn't like it.
Describe it. There was nothing painful about it. It was a baseball game. What was painful about it? That you had to watch Marco Scudero at short? Okay, he kind of sucked. Or Benzinger or whatever. So you didn't like the players. What was the game? What was wrong with the game in 1988, Mass?
There's nothing wrong with the game in 88. Again, with the Red Sox, they didn't hit much back then. So you could say the Red Sox in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, their games were all low scoring. They pitched well.
They weren't a great team. Fine.
Yeah, no. But you know, they weren't a dynamic team to watch. So maybe that's what his issue is. But at least the game moved along. So
but
look, again.
But 88 was Morgan Magic, wasn't it?
88 was Morgan Magic. That is correct.
Yeah, it was a fun year. I don't know what that guy's talking about.
Yeah, so you're right. Now, I don't know which part of the season he caught either. But the second half of the year, they were a lot of fun.
Casey in Maine, your thoughts on the fake crowd noise?
Hey, guys. I don't understand why they have to try and, you know, make make us think that there's a crowd and they're getting excited. I like it for the ambient noise when there's nothing going on. Why can't they fade that back when, you know, something does happen, call the game, and then get back to the ambient noise after instead of making it a circus?
So I think they want to make sure that the Wood and Murray, and not that Murray's a casual fan, but, you know, sort of the fringe fan, is going to get hooked a little bit. The hardcore is going to be there either way. And I know you say you like it, Maz, but if it wasn't there, it's not like you wouldn't watch.
No, listen, again, so like you, I don't spend a lot of time focusing on it. I like the white noise in the background. That's what I'm used to. But again, it's not like I sat there and went, oh, my God, I love that. Or, oh, my God, I can't believe they don't have. No, I just, to me, it feels right when I hear that. You know, again, that's what it is. It's white noise. It's the humming of the crowd in the background waiting for something to happen. Like that murmur, to me, feels like a natural part of a baseball game. It's the anticipation of the play coming. What's going to happen? Is it going to be something interesting? Most of the time, as we know, the answer is no. But nonetheless, I'll take that. But like you, I was watching, you know, the pitcher, where the ball's going, you know, the movement on the ball, the calls of the umpire, whether I agreed or disagreed. You know, so I was focused on that part of it. I wasn't focused on the crowd noise, but I do like it there.
All right, we have breaking news in baseball. Big deal coming down the pike in Major League Baseball. Ties into a story that is very close to us that we have discussed here on this program that Maz has some very strong feelings about. So you'll get the breaking news right here in our update. And we come back and discuss Mookie Betts and the LA Dodgers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
Sometimes, because deep down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, there was a report that you turned down $300 million from the Boston Red Sox. You know, given everything that's going on, you know, economically right now, labor-wise in baseball, you know, do you have any second thoughts about that now in retrospect? And how confident are you that the market will be there for you this winter if you do perform?
I don't like regret turning down that. And that was, you know, once I make a decision, I'm making a decision. I'm not going back and questioning myself. You know, so I don't worry about that. And, you know, the market will be what the market is. You know, we'll just kind of cross that bridge when we get there. But for right now, like I said, it's just the safe and health things that we need to, that I'm worried about, and that whole thing's on the back burner.
All right, Red Sox former outfielder Mookie Betts, an MVP who they could not come to terms with on a long-term extension themselves, then gets traded to the Dodgers in the offseason, is reportedly on the verge of signing a massive contract extension with the LA Dodgers. The latest numbers you're hearing is 13 years at more than $380 million, but that includes this year that he was on the books for $27 million, Maz, I think. So I'm a little confused exactly what the exact numbers are, but the long and short of it is you believe that this proves Mookie Betts never wanted to be here. There's really two things. One, you believe Mookie Betts never wanted to be here in Boston, and this proves it. And two, he's not worth the money. So let's get to number one first. Why does this prove Mookie Betts never wanted to be here?
How long has he been in L.A.? 15 minutes? 15 minutes, relatively speaking? He was here for 5 years. He was there for 15 minutes, the large majority of which he didn't even actually spend in L.A. And he's already anteed up?
All right, so I don't want to cut, you know, but couldn't you make the argument, Maz, that the L.A. Dodgers agreed to his terms and the Red Sox didn't? He asked, I believe, just looking back at it a little bit today, that the reporting was he asked for 12 years and 420.
Correct.
He ended up getting 13 years and 380 plus. So was his ask, in hindsight, all that ridiculous? Wasn't he closer to the bone than the Red Sox were?
Well, so he really got 12 years and about 350, not 380, because you're adding the 27 from this year, which he's getting either way. So it's $70 million less. And again, now, could the Red Sox have met him in the middle on that? Yeah, I suppose. I also think that the pandemic hit and he knew that he wasn't going to get the money he wanted on the market. I also wonder whether the Dodgers told him up front that they were going to give him what he wanted. And so, you know, to me, there was no chance that he was going to stay here. None. Now, again, and by the way, I'm not telling you that.
Well, that's different than saying he would have. You know, would he have? If the Red Sox had hit his number, would he have stayed?
No.
Oh, so he would have said, here's my offer. The Red Sox would have said, okay, where's the paper? We'll sign. And Mookie Betts would have said, actually, never mind.
Yeah, but again, he asked for 12 and 420, which he knew he wasn't going to get. And to me, I understand that you're going to say, well, that's an initial offer. He didn't want to be here. What you do is you set your number at an astronomical level if you don't want to be somewhere and you know they're not going to match it, and then you don't move. So, and it took him again, what? It took him 10 minutes to sign in L.A.? 10 minutes. Well, now the only Dodgers, other variable.
Maybe the
only
it took other the Dodgers 10 minutes to say okay, where the Red Sox didn't.
The Dodgers didn't give him. No. The Dodgers didn't totally give him what he wanted. The Dodgers again gave him $350. They gave him $70 million less than what he was asking for, and he took it.
Okay, so again, this is why we're going to play with the numbers a little bit, but.
But I'm not playing with the numbers. He asked for 12 and 420. Okay, he asked for 12 and 420.
Yeah,
he got 12 and about 350.
Okay, but Maz, it still would have been the same thing here because you can't tear up a contract and you can't start over. He would have been on the one-year $27 million thing here too, right?
Well, you mean because this current season?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's what he was getting. So they added on 12. He wanted 12 and 420 in an open market situation. That's what he wanted. The Red Sox weren't going to give him that.
Well, no, but
the Dodgers didn't give him that either.
He wasn't a free agent. So he would have been beholden to this last year of arbitration rights, whether he was here or there. So, I mean, let's just make it apples to apples. He asked for 12 and 420, and he got 12 and whatever, 380.
But then it's not apples to apples, Mike. It's 13 years instead of 12, if that's what you're saying. So, look, the AAV comes out. We're not going to agree on the money. I'm telling you, he lowered his price. He lowered his price. 12 and 420, what he was asking the Red Sox for, is $35 million a year. 13 and 380, if you want to call it that, is $31 million a year. So he lowered his price.
I'm just saying it would have been 13 here, too, because it would have been that one extra arbitration year. That's all I'm saying. But go ahead.
Okay, but he lowered the price for the Dodgers. Now, the only variable you could throw at me is that the pandemic hit and everything changed. But I still think he didn't want to be here. And I think the Red Sox knew he didn't want to be here, which is why they traded him. No, if that sounds like I am defending the Red Sox for not paying him, I'm not defending him for that. I wouldn't have paid him either. But nonetheless, they have the money to do it. It's not because they don't have the money. But I just don't think Mookie Betts was signable in Boston.
So I do. I don't think that here was his first choice. I don't think he loved it here. And I don't think that if you gave him a list of 10 places to play, that Boston would even be on the list. But I think the number one thing he wanted, which is what the vast, vast majority of those guys wanted, was to get paid. He wanted to get paid. And he wanted one of those massive whopper deals, whether we're talking 380, 350, 400. That's what he wanted. And I think if the Red Sox were the team that gave him that, I think he would have stayed for it. Maybe reluctantly. Maybe he would have been one of these guys, Maz, that would have regretted it or it wouldn't have worked out. It would have been a David Price situation. But I think, you know, especially that sport and that union and the way they carry themselves, you know, that's what they want. They want the offer. And so, like, this all goes back to whether Mookie Betts was signable here by the Red Sox. You still say no.
Mike, you just said they might not have been in his top 10. How signable could he have been? And when you say the union, all they want is the money. Did Xander Bogaerts do it that way?
Maz, I don't think Boston was in the top 10 for David Price when he came out of Toronto or, you know, wherever he was his free agent year. He didn't want to come here. The offer was there, and so he took it. And that's what it would have been with the Mookie Betts situation.
Yeah,
I mean, not that bad. Not that Mookie is a miserable a-hole who would have hated it here like poison. I just don't think – I think there's other places he would have rather have been, but that's not to say he wouldn't have signed here. If – you know, it just all goes back to his ask here. The asking price that he put on here, to me, is not a contract that says – there's no way they're ever going to sign this. I'm not worth this. And so this is akin to not even offering anything. I think he was right to ask for what he asked for. And I think this contract proves that.
Yeah, see, I don't feel that way. I think the money he asked for was outrageous. 12 and 420 is outrageous. That's Mike Trout money. That's right. And by the way, I think anybody who asked for that contract is outrageous because nobody else is getting Mike Trout money. The gap between Trout and everybody else is enormous. And frankly, I'm surprised the Dodgers paid it. I think the Dodgers are stupid for paying it, particularly during a pandemic. What was his leverage now?
Right, he had none.
What was his leverage?
Right, no, this is a side topic. But the real topic with this, Mass, is you don't think he's worth this. You don't think he belongs in this category of $30 million a year ball players or the highest paid players in the game. You don't think he's that guy?
I do not. Correct. I do not. And look, for a year or two, maybe three, will he still be a guy that, you know, puts up good numbers? Hell yeah. But is he the kind of guy that you put in, you know, you extend yourself like that for, who's going to hit the ball out of the ballpark to the opposite field and completely change the game? No way. Not in a million years. And for all the Red Sox fans that are going to cry about this, cry away. They're not going to miss Mookie Betts this year. They're going to miss pitchers a hell of a lot more than they're going to miss Mookie Betts. The offense is just fine. And at the end of the day, I would have traded his ass too because I don't think he was going to sign here.
Okay, folks, there it is. Your thoughts. Does the Mookie Betts contract in L.A. prove that he wasn't signable here, that he didn't want to be here, or that's a phrase a different way, that he would not have signed here? Does the offer that he got reportedly in L.A. say to you that the 12-year 420 that he asked for last year, he knew they weren't going to sign it, that was an unreasonable ask? Do we have the answer to that question now with this contract? And is Mookie Betts worth it? Your thoughts on it in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That puts a charge into that one deep to right field. Hernandez back there and kissed that one goodbye. He sucks it the other way. There's a classic J.D. Martinez opposite field stroke. He makes it a two-run homer.
What a great sign that is. Huh? Really, taking that pitch right there, fastball, doesn't try to do much with it. But when he hits the ball the other way, there's no telling how far it could go.
Again with that for Cocta song. I'm telling you. So just listen to that clip. It's hard to tell there were no fans in the stands. Hard to tell unless you're really paying attention. Sounded the same, which is what they want. I get it. I don't need it. But why do the players need it? Why do the players need to hear that song? Like, it's broadcast in the stadium, not just to us. It's in the stadium. So what, J.D. Martinez has to hear that going around the bases? He got to do his thing? Like, I mean, these are grown-ass men. I mean, what the hell? He needs that song? But that's just one piece to our conversation. Your thoughts on the broadcast last night and the product. But Maz watched that home run from J.D. Martinez into the opposite field bullpen and said to himself, Mookie Betts can't do it. It all goes back to Mookie Betts for you, Maz, right?
I tweeted it. I said that's exactly what Mookie Betts cannot do, is hit that ball into the bullpen the way J.D. Martinez did. And look, I get it. J.D. Martinez can't play the outfield the way Mookie Betts did. Fine. I put more of a premium on the power. I was not going to give Mookie Betts that contract. I think the Red Sox, I do think they did the right thing. You can call the Red Sox a lot of things under this ownership group. What you can't call them is cheap, because they've spent money out the wazoo. And sometimes my issue was really with how they've spent their money, not what they've spent. So I think they've more than on one occasion been reckless and downright irresponsible with their money. But, you know, maybe they didn't make a completely honest effort with Mookie Betts. I don't know if they did or they didn't. All I'm telling you is that they weren't going to sign him. He wasn't going to stay here.
Okay, Billy in Brockton, your thoughts.
Hey, how you doing? This is Big Bill from Brockton calling in, first time, long time. Hope to be back on the show again. First of all, I want to set the stage here. I'm over at the Severian Hawks Field. they got some dynamic workouts going on. No matter.
Billy, get to the point, please.
All right, I'll get to the point. Do you think Mookie Betts is less valuable in a market like L.A. where there's a bunch of other superstars like LeBron, or should he just stay at home, taking a little bit less money, and been more of a superstar? Thanks for taking my call.
All right, little less money. The Sox offered him $300, and he just signed for $380 at least. So that's not a little more money. I mean, I think that, heck, I think if you really care about baseball, Maz, and you're just about baseball, I think you'd rather be in Boston than L.A.
No question.
You know, and if it means taking a little less to be in a place where it really matters versus L.A., then I think you should have. But not when the difference is 300 to 380. That's ridiculous.
So, again, the Red Sox were at 300. He was asking for 420. So, and so he was asking for 420 over 12. He got 380 over 13. That's including this year. Okay, so... Again, you can fudge the numbers however you want. All I'm telling you is that he lowered his price for the Dodgers.
Okay, but, that wasn't the guy's question. The question was, should he have stayed here for what the Red Sox offered, or if it was close, should he have stayed?
I know, I wasn't answering the guy's question. I was telling you what the math is in my head.
Okay.
Because I disagree with you on the math.
Yeah, okay. Well, today, that's established. Billy in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing? Well, Maz, it's me and you right now, because... 300 and 380 is a difference. That's almost 400 million. The guy's, you know, he went way up. He could have stayed, but I guess he didn't like it here. The thing is, money does mean a lot. And these guys want to get as much as they can, and it does come down to money. And that's the bottom line.
Hey, Billy, did it come down to money for Xander Bogaerts?
No,
because how about Chris Sale? Did he re-up for less?
Chris Sale was one of the best pitchers in baseball. Don't put Bogaerts with Chris Sale. That's crazy.
I'm putting Mookie Betts with Chris
Sale.
Mookie Betts with Chris Sale. I'm not putting Bogaerts with Chris Sale.
Well, no, but I mean, what's crazy is to say just because some guys will take home count discounts and some won't, and so the guy that won't sign here is not accurate either. Some guys will stay for less. Some guys want to be paid top dollar and will stay.
How many guys go to market and stay?
Oh, very few.
Okay, so this is my point. The guys that want to stay will stay. They will take a little bit less and stay. That's what they do.
Well, if their first priority is to stay. I don't think his first priority was to stay.
Okay, so then there you go. I mean, this is all I'm saying. This is all I've said from the beginning. Mookie Betts doesn't want to play in Boston.
Well, that's different. It's different.
It's not a priority for him. He didn't want to play in Boston. He was going to go and get top dollar,
yes.
And that was it.
He was out. The difference between saying I won't be there or it's not a priority to be there. Those are two different things.
Because Mike, if you're making money the priority, then you don't want to stay. Like you can only have one priority in that situation. You're either going to get paid or you're going to stay in the environment you're in because that's more important to you. And so it's one or the other. Very rarely do you get both. Guys who go to market leave.
Right, correct, but I think that just to say that I want to be paid at the top of the market, but I would also stay is also completely consistent and doable and happens all the time. That guys say, I'll stay there, but you've got to pay me at the top of the market. I mean, you think that doesn't exist?
No, I'm telling you that the guys that want to go to market to get that top dollar usually leave.
Usually do, not every time.
Okay, but I'm playing the odds there. I'm not going to let the player hold me hostage and then get nothing for him. I'm not handling business that way, and neither would Bill Belichick, by the way.
Okay. Once again, different topic. I don't think the Red Sox are wrong to pass on him either, by the way. You know, because I think that if you're playing the odds, these contracts almost never work. I mean, they just almost never do. I'd say if I were just guessing, the failure rate is like 75%. And what I mean by that is you win championships and – you know, he fulfills the contract for most of the term of the contract. Like Manny Ramirez was one of the few. Manny Ramirez, that contract worked almost to the end. They almost got to the end, but they won a couple championships. And for the most part, for his 8 years, he was productive at a high level, et cetera, et cetera. That's one of the few successes. I'd say for every Manny Ramirez, there's, you know, whatever. There's 6, 7, 8 guys that don't work out. So I don't think the Red Sox were wrong. I don't think the Red Sox were wrong to pass on it or to get something from him. You know, especially with the way it turned out, which, you know, who could have predicted that?
But, Mike, here's my point. When Mookie Betts sits down with his agent and he says, what do you want to do here? What's your priority? Do you want to stay with the Red Sox or do you want to get the most money you can get? And he says, I want to get the most money you can get. Then staying with the Red Sox is not the priority.
Not the priority, but again, why can't it be both?
Because it's not fantasy land. And typically...
But it happens all the time. Guys go where it's not their priority to go, but they go because of the contract. Happens all the time. Happened with David Price. Happens all the freaking time.
Okay, but when they go to open market, that means that they're not going to get the contract in the place they are.
I feel like we're talking in circles. Can we just agree to disagree?
Sure.
Here's Jared in Boston. Go ahead, Jared.
I love it when you guys disagree with each other. I love it. Do you see a similarities between the 2013 Red Sox and this year's Red Sox? Because I bet you guys didn't have a whole lot of good things to say about that 2013 team in the preseason.
So the similarities are that they both kind of stink. They're not that good. They're not championship caliber. And one ended up winning it, but is that the similarity?
Well, the 2013 team had more pitching. I mean, you know, if you remember after 2012 and the whole mess that was Bobby Valentine, the whole idea was we're going to get our identity back. So they went out and got, you know, hardworking players under reasonable contracts, and they thought that they would win 85 to 87, 88 games, have a chance at making the playoffs, and have a season where the fan base liked the team again. Because after 2011 and 2012, it was a disaster. They caught lightning in a bottle that year, and they won the World Series. Now, if the callers ask me, do I think that they're going to win the World Series again? My answer is no, I don't. They don't have the horses that 2013 team had, at least on the pitching staff. So, and, you know, I don't look at this team and say, oh, boy, they're going to be scrappy and gritty. I don't feel that way about the 2020 Red Sox. I think the 2013 team was in better shape than this one is.
Okay, we've got baseball all day long. They're back on the field. There was actual action to sink your teeth into last night at Fenway Park. There's a team to discuss. There's a game to discuss. There's a whole broadcast and game presentation to discuss. I want to give you the ratings from last night coming up. Did you tune in? And which of you tuned in? I want to get to that. The Mookie Betts conversation will be with us all day long as well. So you can continue to weigh in on that at 617-779-0985. I want to give you a quick Bruins minute, and I think confirmation today that the organization is not happy with David Pastrnak and Andre Kashe, for that matter, but particularly David Pastrnak. We'll get to that story after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.